You are listening to the Ivy Podcast. Learn from the thought leaders in areas of strategy, innovation, negotiation, and all things leadership. We interview the Ivy League, Fortune 100, and top startups. Now, here's your host, John Carcy-Baev.
On this episode of the Ivy Podcast, I host Priscilla Torres, a dynamic HR professional with solid experience, mostly working in healthcare, nonprofit, and automotive industries. Priscilla currently serves as the Human Resources Executive for Health Choice Network, a nonprofit healthcare organization that provides professional services to community health centers and federally qualified health centers across the United States. Priscilla maintains a part-time appointment as an adjunct professor, and she also serves as an active board of directors for Hope, South Florida, and she is involved in a variety of advisory board committees within the academic and healthcare industries. Lastly, Priscilla thoroughly enjoys mentoring others and speaking at HR conferences, and I hope you enjoyed this episode with Priscilla. Priscilla, can you tell us a little bit more about the services that Health Choice Network provides, and what is your role within the organization?
Sure, absolutely. So Health Choice Network, also referred as HCN, we are a network of community health centers and health-centered controlled networks that have the mission of serving the underserved population. So they provide an array of different services from primary care. Some of our health centers offer, you know, gynecology, dentistry. So our main purpose is for us to, you know, position ourselves as an organization, as a safety net of 52 across 19 states. And we actually impact 2.2 million patients across the U.S. And so it's our mission to be able to position our health centers and our partners with the right, you know, health information technology, with the right solutions so that we can drive, you know, top quality care and ultimately have successful patient outcomes.
And as far as your role within the organization, can you just tell us a little bit more what areas you're overseeing and how does that... Yeah, that would be good to hear.
Sure. So I've been with Health Choice Network for the last 8 years, and I serve as the Director of Organizational and Talent Development. So I oversee all of the human resources components and the people management of Health Choice Network. So we are driving the organization forward by essentially meeting the strategic initiatives that HCN has and making sure that we have the right talent and the right development programs to help support our initiatives.
That's exciting. And I've watched kind of for the last few years the evolution or transformation in HR space, especially with new roles like Chief People Officer, Chief Engagement Officer. I think it sounds like you play a lot in those fields as well with you know, with the talent development within the organization. So that sounds very exciting. To take that a little bit further, a lot of company boards or executive committees almost always have HR representation on them. And some of the top questions that HR executives that, you know, that come up during these board meetings or steering committees evolve around the company culture. From your experience, how do you measure or can you a company's culture, and why do certain companies succeed at clearly defining their cultures while others struggle?
Sure. So that is a very relevant and trending topic these days. So I do have the opportunity of sitting in the exec team here at Health Choice Network. So it is very important to be able to have a seat at the table. There's an incredible value behind human resources or, you know, people, talent development. Everyone has kind of its own term for HR, but it's really important that we do have a seat at the table because we're able to really identify, you know, where the organization is moving forward and see the ultimate strategic plan for the growth, anticipated growth in the next 5, 10, 15 years. And it's being able to position ourselves with, you know, training and development programs, professional development opportunities, and, you know, and really align the talent with what we're trying to accomplish. And with regards to culture is, it's not tangible, right? It's a difficult, you know, topic to talk about because some employers, you know, have a perception of what their organizational culture looks like, but the the people that are driving the organization, the people may feel differently,
right?
So it's how can organizations take a pulse of it? And that could be done through a variety of different ways. Some of the strategies that have been very successful here at Health Choice Network are engagement surveys, seeing the value in taking pulse engagement surveys and identifying, you know, how satisfied are our employees? Are they aligned with our mission and our vision? And do they feel that they're engaged? So, you know, there's a huge value in that. And there's also another value in having one-on-one meetings. So we have different methodologies and concepts that we've incorporated into our leadership styles so that we're able to really not only align and drive the outcomes that we want to focus on as an organization, but we allow our employees to have a voice. Because when our employees feel engaged, when they're happier, they are more productive. And research shows that, you know, one of the main drivers as to why organizations have high turnover is because of lack of engagement. And so there's a huge strong correlation of both. So by being able to incorporate some of these daily practices into the organizational culture and really taking the time to listen to, you know, each of the employees is important. And then making small changes, you know, you can't build a culture overnight. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, really aligning, taking a pulse of, okay, this is what our employees perceive the organizational culture to be. This is how, you know, the direction that we want to move into as an organization. How can we close that gap? And one of the most successful ways of doing that is getting your people involved. People are driving the workforce, right? So it's getting them involved and, you know, creating actionable items and tackling 2 to 3 things at the same, at one time, really does make a big difference. And then continuously, organizational culture needs to be, you know, taken a pulse of consistently. It's an ever going process. So buy-in from leadership is very important because the leaders drive it. And being able to just continuously ask and find opportunities for participation are important. Mm-hmm.
Great. Then, you know, thank you for that insight. And I can agree with you from perspective that having this seat at the board and also being that almost strategic partner to the organization from HR standpoint, is extremely important. From advanced technologies perspective, just to shift topics a little bit,
sure.
Such as, you know, AI, RPA, machine learning, they're reinventing a lot of industries and functional areas within the organizations. What impact do you see these technologies will make on HR in the near future?
Valid question. So HR is, I think, we're at a pivotal moment where we are still trying to work hard on demonstrating our value and having that more of that strategic partnership, you know, aspect of our roles. Yes, you know, HR is in charge of people and we have to, you know, enforce policies and have a lot of documentation. All of that is part of our roles, but we have to shift and make our jobs easier and more effective. So in order to do that, we have to really align ourselves with good IT technology. So it's important that, you know, HR professionals really take into consideration, you know, technology that provides predictive analytics, you know, being able to predict employees that may be leaving in the future and why, what are those indicators? Being able to utilize technology to have a cloud-based file system and having, you know, easier access to documentation, automating processes. So, you know, there's a lot of great tools and technology that is out there that we can definitely leverage to make, you know, make us more successful and effective in our jobs so that we can move away from the paper pushing days and really be effective and strategic with our initiatives for our organizations.
Right. And I love that you mentioned that from technology perspective to be able to look at the shifts in behavior of employees and see how that may impact, you know, certain outcomes. And I think that's, you know, definitely I've seen a lot of growth in that space.
And it's also, you know, experience, right? You want to be able to create an experience from the candidates who are you're trying to recruit and attract attention to, all through the way that your leaders are managing their staff, how employees that employee experience is so important. So making it easier to have their information accessible to them, mm-hmm. or automating processes is huge, and it can minimize a lot of time and effort, so that we can focus on the more important stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great example. What are the most in-demand skill set and those that are hardest to find in healthcare IT? Just curious, kind of from your perspective, I'm sure you deal with that on a daily basis.
I do.
and in terms of what strategies do you deploy to attract the top talent to HCN? Because it's a tough market out there. There's a lot of opportunities, mm-hmm. But at the same time, you guys also competing with a lot of, great companies here in South Florida as
sure.
well. So just kind of wanted you to spend some time talking about, your strategies, how to get that, top talent in-house here.
Absolutely. So that is a multifaceted question. So I'll make sure that I can tackle all those pieces. Because we are in an interesting space, we are in the nonprofit sector. We are in healthcare IT. We do manage other initiatives as well. We have a strong focus on our quality improvement strategies and providing value-based services and care for our health centers. So we always have to get creative with our recruitment strategies, because we want to make sure that we're attracting the right attention and we're gaining the right talent, because we want to build the future of Health Choice Network, looking at 5, 10, 15 years from now. So how do we position ourselves to be able to attract these type of talents? And most importantly, there's specific skill sets, specifically in the healthcare IT sector, that are more challenging to find, mm-hmm. because we're in such a niche area. So some of those skill sets include cloud hosting. We were the first health-centered controlled network to be in the cloud. And so that was a huge initiative and a huge win for us in the last year. So our health centers are no longer, have hardware, physical hardware, and now we're all up in the cloud. Cloud hosting is definitely one of them. Artificial intelligence, being able to have predictive analytics is crucial to the success of what we do. Being able to expand on our security. We manage electronic health record systems for, all of our community health centers. So it's important that, we're, staying compliant with our HIPAA, security rules, that we have a CISO team that is focused on just providing services to ensure that our center's data and our patient data is safe. And, because in healthcare, we're huge targets, every day with all of these, attacks. And so those, I say that those are high level, some of the skill sets that we look for at Health Choice Network. And some of the strategies that we've employed is, long are the days that we post a position and get flooded with candidates, right? Candidates are, it's a tough market out there, especially in the South Florida, beautiful Miami region. So it's, how do we combat that? And, one of the things that have been successful for us is aligning ourselves with local associations. So we work closely with HIMSS and other IT, associations that, can provide us with that interface, and being able to build the, Health Choice Network and advocating for what we do. So we have great partnerships with local universities. So we have opportunities to guest lecture. We have opportunities to, attend a lot of their events so that we can, reach out to the new students and those who are interested in the services that we render and that we provide. And having a good presence on LinkedIn, being able to capitalize on technology and all of, social media, our webpage. So we really want to do a great job of demonstrating what our organizational culture is through our recruiting efforts, so that, we can really tell the story of what we do, how we're committed to the mission, being able to serve, our community health centers, drive, results, and ultimately impact patient outcomes, which is why we're here.
Mm-hmm. So. Right, that's very insightful. Couldn't agree more from the cloud transformation perspective. You know, those are, you know, extremely challenging. The cloud engineers, you know, cyber reliability engineers, incident commanders, all of those guys. I mean, they just don't exist. I mean, if they exist, they involved in extremely, you know, great projects, great initiatives with great companies. So I like some of the strategies that you guys have, and I personally know that how effective those are, because from our perspective at ProSource, we do niche IT staffing as well, but also management consulting piece and IT executive search, corporate training. So really targeting, you know, those very specific areas within IT helps us partner with some of the organizations, you know, like the universities, some other nonprofit organizations as well that have exposure to some of the potential talent. And really, I like kind of a lot of the companies that have been very successful in attracting, not only attracting the top talent, but really fostering that infrastructure in place to be able to bring somebody who is extremely high potential, but really invest into that onboarding piece and really training and helping that individual grow with the organization.
Absolutely.
I think that translates to some extremely valuable assets that not only contribute, but they last also within the organization.
Absolutely. I mean, retention is something that has to be consistently looked at, consistently, you know, assessed, because you can do a great job of implementing all these strategies to attract talent, but then how do you retain it?
Yeah.
And so it's very important to have, you know, training programs. We have an extensive onboarding process. We actually have an ambassador who is assigned to the person so that they're able to really help mentor them in their careers as they start with Health Choice Network. We try to create memorable moments and being able to have, you know, opportunities for, you know, our new hires to ask the questions, have brown bag lunch with my CEO. And there's a lot of expansion of learning. We have an environment of learning as a professor. That's one of the things, you know, that I've been doing for 3.5 years. It's important that we integrate. We're all lifetime learners, and we've done a really good job of incorporating that into our culture. So we really take our time with our new hires to give them all the information that they know. You know, oftentimes, you know, some of our new hires don't even know what a federally qualified health center is, because we're in a different niche area of healthcare. So it's really being able to educate, take them to our community health centers, allow them to understand the reason why, you know, how crucial is it for if your role is, you know, managing our infrastructure in IT, and we have a server, you know, in the cloud that's, well, now in the cloud's different, but let's say, you know, for an example, we have a server that's down and our, that health center doesn't have internet. We have to understand the purpose of what our jobs are, because it's not just a center that's down, it's, you know, 20, 30 patients who are waiting in that waiting room who now can't be seen because they're not up and running. So it's crucial that, you know, each one of our HCN associates, which is what we refer to it as here, you know, every associate understands the mission and the vision of what we do and the value that each one of our roles plays, ultimately trickling down to the patients that our health centers serve. The 2.2 million patients that we serve. Yeah. So that's an incredible amount of value. So it's, how can we tell that story? How can we, you know, educate our new hires so that they can be a part of that commitment that we have to our mission?
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's as equally as, you know, them interviewing you as much as 100%. You interviewing them, and then really assessing how to, you know, from my objectives, my personality, how would that fit, you know, within the organization. So that's very cool to hear some of the strategies you guys have in place. To take that a little bit further on what we had just talked about, a good portion of our listeners, second year MBA or recent graduates, you know, from mostly Ivy League, and if some of them are interested in starting or building career with HCN, can you provide a glimpse into the company culture and what type of people tend to succeed here at, you know, Health Choice Network? We're here in the offices of HCN, and you guys have really beautiful facilities,
Thank
a lot
you.
Of open space, a lot of, you know, opportunities to collaborate and, you know, open communication, things like that.
Sure.
So just to get a glimpse into the kind of the facilities, but I want to hear from your perspective in terms of that culture aspect and the people that tend to thrive within the organization.
Absolutely. That's a very good question. So if I had to summarize Health Choice Network's culture in my personal perspective, I would categorize it in three words. Number one is passion. Number two is collaborative or teamwork. And number three is growth. So for passionate, we are so committed to the passion, to the mission of our community health centers that we serve, that, you know, our people will do whatever it takes to get the job done. And I think that's not only because we're a nonprofit sector, but I think we are so ingrained in what we do and the impact that we have, that we are just willing to do whatever it takes to, you know, create a new solution or think outside the box. We have such a creative environment where we really are open to opportunities, to ideas, to different components that can really just drive outcomes. And the people are so passionate and so focused on that, that it's very fulfilling to be able to see. And our numbers show it. You know, we have a super low, you know, turnover rate. We have a high retention. Our engagement is at 90%. And so our employees are engaged, they're committed, and I think it speaks for itself. Number two, I would say, is collaborative and teamwork. So because we're in an open living office concept, yes, our facility, our beautiful facility, you know, does allow for that collaboration. But most importantly, we give our employees the autonomy to really be results driven. So everyone knows what is their role and responsibility and what goals and metrics, key performance indicators that they have assigned to them. And they really drive their own success. And we have an incredible support from the executive team. We foster, you know, that creativity and thinking outside of the box solutions. So I think that helps with the teamwork. But we treat each other like family, and we really care for one another, and we are willing to roll up the sleeves and help in other areas just to carry out the mission. So it's by far nowhere near the siloed, you know, individual departmental type of organization. We are really just an open environment. And then last but not certainly not least is growth. You know, we have a hunger for growth, and not only do we believe in professional development, and of course, you know, as an educator myself, you know, we always find ways to enhance our training programs and take time to develop our staff. Our leaders meet with our staff members once a year just on professional development. What are your career aspirations? What do you want? You know, what do you want to learn? What conferences do you want to attend? What certifications do you need as an IT professional to be successful in your area? We want to build
That's amazing.
Up our employees. Absolutely. And I'm a perfect example of that. You know, I had a successful career prior to Health Choice Network, but I actually started at Health Choice Network as an intern. And throughout the last 8 years, you know, we've really been able to, I've been able to, you know, move up to the department that I'm in and the position that I'm in. And I'm just happy, you know, to be able to just continue the mission of HCN.
Right. Yeah. Cause you know, you've been here what, 8 years now?
Eight years. Yes.
Yeah. And that's, you know, definitely shows, you know, not only from retention perspective, but really having the opportunities to grow within the organization and really choose your path almost. And it's exciting to hear that your leadership takes time to really assess, you know, on even on the individual level, what are your some of, you know, career aspirations or what are your training needs and so forth. So that's, you know, that's exciting to hear. That's, I think it's so much needed, but you don't see a lot of that and, you know, in a lot of companies. So
yeah, we definitely want to invest in our employees. And I'm so grateful because HCN has invested in me and my career growth and given me opportunities, exposure. And we have a what we call like a learner program where we're able to, you know, plug in individuals that want exposure to different areas. because we do such an array of different services that it's important that, you know, we give that, we transfer that knowledge and give each other opportunities to grow laterally within our roles and move up, you know, as time goes by as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when hiring for HCN, for candidates that you interview, that part of the journey, do you tend to get creative with your interviews? And if so, what do you look for in some of the responses that, you know, the candidates that you talk to?
Sure. So you highlighted one of the things which is crucial earlier in our discussion is having a two-way interviewing process. You know, it's really important. We set the tone from the very beginning that, you know, we want to make sure that it's a good fit from Health Choice Network, but in addition to the candidate as well. And so we do have an extensive, you know, interviewing process, but we do that because we want to make sure that we have multiple touch points with candidates, that candidates have enough opportunities to ask questions. One of our most successful strategies is our panel interviews. So we bring in our top talent, our top candidates to come in for panel interviews to be able to meet with different stakeholders and individuals that would work closely with that role to really help kind of give a holistic, you know, 360 view of the organization and also, you know, seeing how that person would be a good fit for the role. But, you know, candidates just, you know, need to get creative with their resumes and how they position themselves and aligning themselves with associations and being able to really think outside the box. It's about branding ourselves, right?
Yeah,
and then how can I brand myself, you know, and demonstrate what skill sets I have and what abilities I have? Because it's one thing to be qualified on paper and have all, you know, the requirements for a role. But it's, you know, what does that will look like? What are those abilities? And being able to tap into that and capture that during an interview is crucial because I mentioned, you know, passion is one of our main components to what we do and our culture. So it's how can we capture that during the interviewing process and identify where individuals are in their careers and what they're looking for and seeing if it's a good fit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's definitely creative, and I see a lot of value in having these different phases of interviews and being able to interview the both sides and get experience to meet with, you know, the panel and different levels of the organization. I think that's, you know, that definitely works. I know it's effective. So you being a professor, you teach, you know, at university, you also, you know, you're very active on LinkedIn, you participate in conferences. To have a lot of that insight and a lot of that information, you must read a lot.
I do.
So I'm curious, what are you currently reading? And also, if that's different book, which book do you always recommend to others and why?
That's a great question. So I am definitely a reader, and I always like to recommend different books. You know, one of the practices that I have is that if I have a good book that I'm reading or I have a chapter that I think would be effective for someone or helpful for someone, I'd like take a picture of it and send it to the person, or I just hand them the book. I've done that quite a few times here with my colleagues. But the book that I'm currently reading, and excuse my French, is Stop Doing That Shit. And basically, you know, it's such a great self-help book because it really speaks to the language that we constantly, the voice in our head, right? And it's the language that we speak to amongst ourselves.
Right.
You know, because oftentimes we are so critical of ourselves, and we, you know, we have to believe that anything that you want to accomplish, you can accomplish. Dream big. I tell people all the time, my students, every time that I speak at conferences, I'm a huge believer that you have to believe in yourself first and love yourself, give yourself grace to be able to, you know, reach all of your goals. And so this book really helps support that because it really gives you the ability to separate what is factual in what we're telling ourselves and what's not. And how can we end this, like, sabotaging our own success? Because we are our own barriers to our goals and to our success.
Interesting.
So, you know, it's reframing the way that we talk to ourselves. And and stop being hard on ourselves, being so critical, focusing on all the positive attributes and things that we can contribute, and walking into tough situations with a positive mindset that will ultimately result in a good outcome.
Who's the author? Do you remember?
So it's Gary Bishop.
Okay.
And definitely recommending it, because I think recently I lost my dad a few months ago, and my life, you know, definitely changed, and my outlook to life has changed as well. So it's been a very helpful book to just walk me through the grieving process. But most importantly, it's not allowing what we perceive to be as failure as a stumbling block. There's so many beautiful lessons that we can learn from failure, and being able to just, you know, give failure, taking it as an opportunity to step back, evaluate, assess what can I do differently, and implementing a new strategy. And that's life. It's constantly just keep pushing forward, modifying. And so I feel that that book has been incredibly helpful for that. And but a few books that I always recommend are, you know, Blink is one of them that I can think of from the top of my head.
That's a great book.
Yeah, yes. It's
definitely, you know, I would recommend that as well. And to, you know, for our listeners, we'll make these recommendations available in the episode notes. So definitely, definitely thank you for sharing that. Priscilla, anything you would like to highlight in closing remarks, or anything that we had not spoken about?
The only thing I can think of is, you know, for anyone who's in an executive position, is I just want to challenge the thought of how we're currently leading our staff, and just, you know, not being married to a leadership style or to like one cookie cutter way of driving change or driving impact. We really have to just get creative, think outside the box, speak to other colleagues, and being able to just learn from one another, research, you know, there's just an array of different things that we can do to just position ourselves to continue to move our organizations forward. And once we focus on that, I think it is makes us a more effective leader, certainly, but it also gives us the opportunity to grow, you know, within our respective careers as well. So I think that I'd like to just add with that.
That's great. It was, you know, very inspiring. Definitely thank you for sharing that. Priscilla, I know you guys have a lot going on here, and I really appreciate you finding time to get on the podcast, and I look forward to actually reconnect with you in, you know, in a couple of years, how I do with a lot of my guests, and to see how much has changed during that period and where you guys are at, and kind of revisit some of the things that we had spoken about a couple of years ago. Those are usually very interesting. So I definitely look forward to that. So I really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. It's been great.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.